the very first episode of the Red Bull Rant. My name is Jason Iapigo, and with me today is my co-host, Patrick McDonald.
Hey, how you doing?
This is the very first episode of our brand new podcast. We're going to be coming to you once a week, once the season gets underway. We'll have segments that include, obviously, recaps of the matches played. Look forward to upcoming matches, team news, and very special to this podcast, a Rant of the Week.
Yeah, that's what I happen to be looking forward to the most, because I do love to rant.
And it will be either myself or Patrick, or it will be one of you, the listeners, that will be able to contribute to the Rant of the Week. Since this is off-season, as of today, we got a lot of news to talk about, so we're just going to jump right in. First thing we're going to talk about is the Ream to Bolton rumors have become more substantiated in the past week. Right now, the reported offer is £2.5 million, or $3.86 million U.S. My understanding is the only thing that's holding this deal up at the moment, besides money, is Ream's work permit. Unfortunately, I don't know enough about U.K. law to know what the work permit qualifications are and if Ream could qualify. But what do you think about that, Pat?
It's a good move for Ream. Obviously, he just got married. I don't know how many people know that, which is... And by going to the English Premier League, he's going to get a huge pay bump. Now, of course, for the Red Bulls, I don't know if it's the best deal. He struggled last year, but that was pretty much when he was lined up next to Marquez, who was poison. He really started to come on late in the season. I think he really could have been a stalwart in the back of that defense for at least another year. Great move for him, great move for his future for the men's team. He's going to start testing himself against better competition. Hopefully he has a good career over here. I wish him the best.
Yeah, I always thought that the one thing he needed in New York, and now, just so you listeners know, past year is my very first year following the leagues, so forgive me if I sound a little ignorant at times. I don't mean to. But the one thing I noticed about Ream was that he played a lot better when he had a physical presence next to him. And at the beginning of the year, Marquez actually was a physical presence. After the Gold Cup, don't know if it was the injury or if he just stopped playing like people thought he did, but he just stopped becoming that physical force that the backline needed. And once Bach made the move of putting Stephen Keel back there, things just started to click, and you saw Ream improve dramatically. Hopefully he'll be able to keep that play up if he does go over to England. If not, if he doesn't go over, hopefully Bach can keep putting something back that matches well with his finesse style and keeps him going next year.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. Either way, I mean, it looks like I'll be watching a few more Bolton games as the season goes on.
Yeah, and so along with Ream to Bolton, we also have a pair of signings that were made in the past month. The first is Holgersen, who is 26 years old, 6'3", a defenseman. He's played the last few years over in Sweden, 169 appearances, 11 goals. And he's actually been called up for Sweden's two friendlies matches at the end of this month. The other addition made recently was Barajo. He's an American-born player, played for George Mason, then USL side Real Maryland, and then went on to Norway's second division, where he actually helped his team, and I don't want to butcher his name, but I probably will. Marco Rete. I'm not sure if that's right, but I'm not going to give that one another chance.
I don't know. I can't help you there.
But he went there and actually helped them get promoted to the first division in Norway. So he'll be coming back over playing in Red Bull Arena next year. So with these two additions, let's say assuming Ream does go over to Bolton, how do you think the back line's going to shape up? Do you think Marquez is going to go back there, or do you think Marquez is going to be staying in a defensive mid position like he was at the end of the year?
I think it's highly likely that Marquez is going to remain in the defensive midfield. However, if Ream does go overseas, I think that really enables the Red Bulls to slide Marquez back into that defensive role, because now you have Holgersen, who's being brought in. I mean, Eric Soler has even said he's being brought in because he's a big physical back. With that physical presence alongside Marquez can bring that vision that's so highly touted to the back line, something that will be missing once Ream goes overseas. As for Barajo, They'll provide cover for Jan Gunnar Solli, and you know, that could even allow Solli to move up to the midfield if they ever need to. It's he's good there. And then also, I also read that Soler believes in his being a left midfielder, or not left left back. I'm sorry. That being said, Soler also came in today and said that should Ream go overseas, he has yet another piece of the puzzle he has lined up to bring in. So, I don't know. I mean, Marquez, yeah, you know, I think he could pair with Holgersen. I think he could remain in the defensive midfield. My personal hope is that Flamengo makes a huge offer and takes Marquez off Red Bull's hands, and he goes and spends the next season in Brazil. Because, to be honest, after that headbutt, you know, yeah, he started playing a little better once he got into the midfield last season, but after that headbutt and all that nonsense in the LA playoff game, I have no interest in seeing him dress in the Rebel uniform ever again.
Real quick about Marquez. You mentioned that when our Brazil team was looking to pick him up. I know Atlas was looking at him once the MLS offseason started. Weren't there reports that the Red Bulls turned down an offer from Atlas for Marquez?
I think Red Bulls have turned down. Actually, I think they've turned down offers from a couple teams. Flamengo apparently is one of them. But Flamengo has had such a bad... I was reading that they've had such a bad transfer window so far that they're kind of ready to really take a go at Marquez. I don't know, you know, what Soler and Bach are thinking, keeping this guy on the team. I mean, maybe it's just stubbornness. Maybe it's just like, oh, we don't want to admit we're wrong. I have no idea. But it's just, you know, it's... fingers crossed. I mean, there's a lot of things they've said over the season. They said they wouldn't sell Ream. They said they wouldn't loan Henri. There's a lot of things they said they wouldn't do, and they went and did anyway. So, you know, it's possible. It's still possible, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I know I personally don't like to see Marquez on this team anymore. Just the way he acted towards the second half of the season, especially the interview he gave with, I guess it was Mark Fisher or Dave Martinez. It was one of the seeing red guys.
I think it was Dave Martinez.
Yeah, it was the video interview in the locker room after one of the home losses or draws. I can't remember which match. But where he basically threw Tim Ream under the bus and called Ream sophomoric and basically just shot him down. And just after the way he acted there, I don't think he is a fit for this locker room.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of fans who, you know, well, I mean, I think, if I recall, his reaction was after the South Ward had pretty much booed him the entire game every time he touched the ball, and then he did that, you know, instead of acting like a professional and being like, hey, they want me to play well, you know, I understand, you know, he went and ripped his teammates, and then once he moved to the midfield, he started to win people back a little bit as he played a little better, but then, you know, just the headbutt was the last straw. I mean, it's not like it was one thing, it was many things, so we'll see what happens.
All right, so another news, we have rumors of Juan Agudelo possibly being transferred out of New York. I don't think there's been any specific team except for maybe Liverpool. I forget if that's who he was training with.
Yeah, Liverpool, and then I think he also trained with Stuttgart. I don't know how to say that. The German team. He trained there, and then he trained a little bit with Liverpool.
Okay, yeah, so it looks, but somebody over there in Europe is looking to get him for their, I guess, end of season run. And I don't think there's any solid offers made, or at least solid offers that have been reported to the media. But in addition to Agudelo, we also have, as announced of today, January 12th, Kenny Cooper of the Portland Timbers is now a New York Red Bull. Before the MLS Super Draft kicked off this morning, New York traded their 2013 first-round pick and allocation money to Portland for Cooper. Glarset reports apparently the allocation money portion of this trade will only be paid if New York happens to keep Cooper past the 2012 season. I guess more details will come out after in the next few days, and we'll see how that actually worked out. The big thing about Cooper, obviously, besides the fact that he's played in MLS before, is he's a $250,000 cap hit for New York, so it's not like he's going to be coming cheaply to the team. So, the Cooper acquisition, do you think this is a prelude to Agudelo being transferred out of New York?
Yeah, you know, it looks like the writing's on the wall. I mean, you know, for whatever reason, Juan Agudelo fell out of favor with Hans Bach. Now, Baca did say at the end of last season that they were looking to transition Agudelo to becoming a right winger, right midfielder, because that's where he apparently succeeded rather well on the youth team. that's possibly still in the cards. I mean, Eric Soler, even again, you know, he said a lot of people were asking him questions, and he was giving answers today. He said, you know, he had no interest in transferring Agudelo. He thinks Agudelo needs to stay stateside for a little while longer and harness his game. So, you know, and again, you've seen plenty of times that Soler goes back on his word. So, I mean, unless he's going to play a picture, play in the right midfield slot, I don't see how they keep him. You know, it's, yeah, he is going to miss a significant amount of time with the Olympic team, with the men's net, you know, the senior team, senior national team. But I don't see how they keep him. It's, you know, Kenny Cooper is so expensive, so you know he's got to play a role on this team. I mean, yeah, there's issues right now with Luke Rogers' visa, but I'm sure that's going to get cleared up. I mean, he's been a model citizen for the year that he's been here. And then, yeah, this kind of signals to you maybe that Henri is going to pull a David Beckham and stay until July in Europe. But I really don't see that happening. I mean, whereas Beckham played a main role on Milan, you know, Henri he's probably still going to just be a role player in Arsenal. So, you know, he's probably going to do his little farewell tour, and then he'll come back, I think, at the end of February. But, you know, it's... I just don't see Agudelo, I mean, his days are numbered. And to be honest, it's his best move. I mean, he needs to play. And he's just not getting that playing time here in New York.
Yeah, observation I've always made with Agudelo is he was never mature enough when he played, not just for New York, but also for the men's national team. I mean, if you watch him play, at majority of the time, it seems like he's really selfish on the ball and doesn't look to make the pass when need be. Like, there were times last year he tried to dribble through three guys, and he just wasn't able to do it. Not because he's not skillful, just it was a bad situation, and it was never going to work. So, I mean, yeah, the only solution is playing time, and obviously Hans wasn't going to be given that with Henri and Rogers, who has very great chemistry last year, and you don't want to take away from that when Red Bulls were short on goals as it was. But, yeah, so with Cooper right now, we have, assuming Agudelo does not move, that leaves Henri, Rogers, Agudelo, and as the four main forwards, and I believe Dane Richards is even though he plays midfield, he's a emergency forward. So right now we're really top heavy in terms of forwards. So maybe Agudelo, if the right hand is on the wall for Agudelo, maybe that will lead to us picking up another defenseman, the one that Soler has been hinting at for the last month or two. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see how that works out.
Yeah, I mean. Again, you know, it's the only way I see it happening is if he plays right mid or if, you know, hey, or if Hans Bach is like, hey, let's try 4-3-3, and they play him on the right wing, Henri on the left, and Rogers and Cooper switching out in the middle.
Now,
see what happens.
If Bach were to think like that, would it be a 4-3-3, or would it be more like a 4-3-1-2, where Henri drifts back and plays more of a attacking mid-type role, like he did at the end of the year, they're trying to create the offense for Rogers and Cooper?
It wouldn't be a bad idea, you know, it's that's certainly, I mean, the way Henri drops back, it probably wouldn't be such a bad idea to try and play him an attacking mid role. You know, as it is now, I mean, I'd like to see them try 4-3-3 again, but that's if, you know, Agudelo actually plays a role in the future, and right now, you know, just as a Red Bull fan, stinks to see him go, but as a U.S. men's national team, you want him out of there. You want him someplace where he's going to play. You want to see where he's going to play regularly and, you know, just be, you know, basically work his way up to being a force for the 2014 World Cup.
I mean, the one good thing would be that if he does stay, this year the MLS schedule, they built in the FIFA dates and the Olympic dates, so at least we don't have to worry about losing Agudelo during any actual matches. So, anyway, looking at the schedule right now, that would not be an issue. Last bit of player news we have for today, the Super Draft, where the Red Bulls did not have a first-round pick this year. So they had the 31st overall, which was in the second round. So their only pick this year was a goalkeeper, which we actually need because we do not have a goalkeeper on the roster at the moment. Goalkeeper's name is Ryan Mero. He's 21 years old, stands 6'4" tall. He comes out of Fordham University, where he appeared 74 times and recorded 31 shutouts. He He was the 2011 Atlantic 10 Defensive Player of the Year, the Atlantic 10, All-Atlantic 10 Conference First Team, and he actually was the 2010 PTL Goalkeeper of the Year for the Ironbound Express. So at least he knows the area. I know there's not really much to say on him, but what do you think about New York going out and getting a goalkeeper?
Well, I mean, right now he's our starting goalkeeper, isn't he? You know, I mean, they need a keeper. There's no doubt about that. I watched this highlight reel on that was provided by MLSsoccer.com. It's nothing, you know, nothing to write home about. It's all right, you know. Hopefully the kid can grow into something. I mean, you know, he's just, I joked that he's the starting keeper right now, but I mean, you know, it looks all signs point to him not being the starter this season. I mean, Frank Rost is probably coming back for less than DP money. And then Soler keeps saying he's bringing in a young American with overseas experience. There's some speculation who that is. I know Frank Giassi on Star Ledger, at the Star Ledger, he thinks it's going to be Brad Guzan. I don't know if that's true, because, you know, Frank, the whole point of keeping Frank Rost is to mentor the young American. Brad Guzan does not need to be mentored. He already tore it up in Major League Soccer, which is why he's at Aston Villa at the for the time being, but he's just not getting any minutes. So, I mean, it would make sense for him to come to MLS, but if Frank Rost is still in the picture, I don't see how it's going to be him. Who I think it's going to be is Dom Servi, who right now plays for Celtic. He's currently on loan in Scottish First Division, but where he's getting some time there, but, you know, it's the Scotland football, you know, pyramid. It's pretty much Glasgow and Celtic, and then everybody else in the Scottish Premier League is nothing to write home about, and then anything below that is, you know, less than MLS. So, I mean, it's like, if that's where Dom Servi's playing, it probably is in his best interest to come back to the United States and play, and it would make sense for him to play for a year under Rost, you know, and then become the Red Bulls' keeper of the future. So, I mean, that's who I think it's going to be. You know, he might be subject to the allocation process, but I think that's who he seems to be the most likely keeper, in my opinion. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, no matter what, York needs a goalkeeper, whether it's Frost or somebody else. I guess preferably you'd want someone that's a little bit younger than Rost, especially since Rost somehow injured himself on a plane flight last year. Still not really sure how that can happen, but that was just how the Red Bulls were last year. So hopefully they'll find somebody, whether it's this Mayer who they drafted or somebody else that could fill in the spot. Assuming Rost does not come back, of course, because if Rost comes back, there's no way they're not going to play him. Even if he's getting less than DP money, they want to keep that name out from the lineup. It just wouldn't make sense to them.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, my hope is, you know, it's, if anything, it'll be like the Tally Hall situation in Houston last year where, you know, nobody realized who he was. He came back from Europe where he didn't play much, and he lit it up. I mean, Tally Hall was a revelation for the Dynamo. So, I mean, if the Red Bulls are lucky, Dom Servi is going to be their Tally Hall this year.
And the last thing I want to bring up is the 2012 MLS schedule, which was released, I believe it was a week ago.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think it was about a week ago, yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm pretty sure most of you have seen it by now. The new schedule works around FIFA dates and the Olympics. Obviously, this year is the new unbalanced schedule with the addition of Montreal. So, Red Bull was unlucky enough that they happened to play at DC United, at Philadelphia, and at New England. Twice. Each.
Only I-95 rivals.
They get two games at Philadelphia, both of which happen on Sundays. First one's May 13th. I'm sorry, second one's a Saturday, which is October 27th. But both those games in Philadelphia start at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, which I think is going to be it shouldn't be that tough for supporters. I'm pretty sure they'll be up for it no matter what. But a 1:30 game on a granted May and October shouldn't be that bad. Play 1:30 o'clock on an away game. I'm kind of interested to see how that's going to work out.
Yeah, no, I think that's an easy trick. I mean, the two DC games I know are on, if I'm not mistaken, on weeknights. But yeah, no, that should be a nice finale. 1:30, Philadelphia. You know, as long as the team's still in it by the end, you know, that should be a good one. You know, I'm looking forward to that one.
Let's see. Actually, the first DC game is April 22nd, which is a Sunday. That one's at 6 p.m. So that one might be tough for some of the fans just because of work the next day. I don't know how many fans actually care about work after that game, but we'll find out.
Yeah.
And the second away trip to D.C. is August 29th, which is the Wednesday night game.
Yeah, it's almost like the league is trying to take pity on D.C. and like, oh, no, don't let those Red Bull fans come down and try and run the stadium.
But really get a chance anyway.
Yeah.
The other big things that I've seen that I dislike about the schedule, I mean, obviously, two away at D.C., two away at Philly, two away at New England is not good for a New York team that struggled last year on the road. But the big one that I see is the Red Bulls will be playing in Vancouver on June 20th, which is a Wednesday night, at 11 p.m. Eastern time. And my first thought when I saw that on the schedule is, do they not want the East Coast to watch this game? Is that in those... Now, granted, last year, I remember the Red Bulls had a game in Seattle on a Thursday night at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
10 o'clock's not that much better than 11.
Yeah.
But at least 10 o'clock didn't, for the most part, take him into the next day. At least it was just after 12. I mean, unless you're a hardcore fan or you have match day live and can afford to wait. Granted, that for me, that's one of the big conveniences of being in Maryland with match day live is I'm actually able to watch the Red Bulls on match day live.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to necessarily stay up for that game.
Yeah, I mean, you got to wonder sometimes about these decisions. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, Vancouver's not... I know they did this last year. I forget exactly. You know, they did this last year with L.A., where they put on national television against L.A., which... Obviously, that's a premier matchup you want the league, you want people to watch. And I know they put it on really, really late, basically kind of marginalizing the East Coast audience. I guess the one, I mean, you know, you got to expect at least one or two of these games. And, you know, as long as they're not doing it with LA, which would be silly. I mean, in this case, it's Vancouver. Vancouver's, you know, they're interesting because they're still new, but, you know, they've got a rabid fan base, but it's not going to, you know, you're not going to get noticed by the, you know, the common fan. No one who wants to check out MLS soccer is going to be like, oh, Vancouver, New York, let me watch that one. So, if they're going to choose a game to put on 11 p.m. on a weekday night, it might as well be a Vancouver, you know, or like a Chivas USA, something like that, like a non-marquee team. So it's, you know, I think they made a better decision doing Vancouver than, say, like L.A. at 11 o'clock or something like that. So, you know, it still stinks for those of us who really want to watch the game, but, you know, it's understandable that they did it a little bit.
Yeah, and I understand there's travel considerations and a bunch of other factors involved, and I'm not privy to what they are, and I've never tried to make a schedule for professional sports league, so I can't. I can't be in that mind of that person to know exactly what they have to, you know, go through. But yeah, I guess if it has to be in a game, might as well be Vancouver. So let's see this. So looking at the Red Bull schedule, especially the TV, Red Bulls will have 9 games on NBC or NBC Sports this year, which is, and I gotta say, overall league wise, I'm glad they're putting so many games on NBC. I know for most fans, it's probably they're not going to like the idea of losing their local announcers, but I believe it's 36 games or somewhere in that area that they're putting on NBC this year.
Any fan of Major League Soccer has got to be excited. They've got to be really excited about what's going on. I mean, the profile of this league is rising exponentially. I mean, you know, David Beckham came in, you know, he gave it a good shot in the arm, but it's you know, it wasn't like it was just a shot in the arm. You know, it's grown ever since. I mean, without Beckham, there'd be no Henry, but Henry came, you know, and yeah, there's plenty of people rumored to be coming along down the pipe. So, it's going to be, I don't know. I'm just really excited to see what's going to happen with this league in the next 10 years. The growth is just amazing. If you've seen NBC commercials, they feature, you know, MLS. One includes Joel Lempert delivering a corner kick.
That was actually the corner against Philly that sent us to the playoffs last year.
That's right. That was Dane Richards' goal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Dane Richards, a master in the air, you know?
And actually, it was another spot released today. I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but apparently there's a spot now for NBC Sports with the South Ward.
Oh, yeah.
Which is nice. I'm hoping this. It's the first thing I'm going to be doing after we're done recording. I want to see that.
Yeah, I have seen that one. Yeah, they're doing the I Believe, you know, I Believe, you know, they're doing that chant. So it's pretty, it's very cool.
This is the longest MLS schedule yet.
Yes.
The season, at least for New York, starts March 11th, and MLS Cup is December 1st. Yes. Nice long schedule.
I'll take it. I love it. You know, I that's one thing that Jurgen Klinsmann was harping on, that the MLS season needs to be longer. So, I mean, you know, it only benefits, I mean, since the MLS was initially conceived to foster, you know, U.S. national players. So, I mean, yeah, this is a good thing. You know, they need as little time off as possible. They need to be playing soccer as much as possible. That's why so many of them went overseas in the past couple months just to train, you know, like Brick Shea in Arsenal, Ream in West Brom and Bolton. You know, it's a good thing. It's a sign of growth. Again, it's a sign of growth. And possibly next year with New York 2 or 2013, whenever that team shows up, if it ever actually shows up, we'll have 20 teams, we'll have 38 games. So, I mean, it's just another sign of progress for this league, and it's exciting.
Yeah. So if you look at the schedule, if assuming that they keep the schedule for the same length of it for next year, and take into account that training camps start, I think it's the 22nd, at least for New York is when it starts, or at least somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. The last week of January, when officially players report, you'd be at like 7 or 8 weeks off total,
right?
Between MLS Cup and the start of training camp, which is like you said, what Klinsmann wanted. He wanted less time off. He wanted players to be playing more year round. I mean, players have to have some time off. So it's nice that you can't have them keep playing 12 months straight. It's just not going to work. But looking at this schedule, I'm glad, especially because this year, New York will have no more than 5 matches in 1 month. They have 5 in May, no more than 5 in 1 month, and that's May. Every other month is 4 or less games. Except for July. July is actually 5 months, 5 games also. Which July is a bigger stretch for New York because it's 5 games in 3 weeks. It's nice because last year, I think it was June and July both had like 6 or 7 games in it.
Yeah.
And that including, that wasn't including the Emirates Cup. I don't have anything else that I want to bring up. Do you have anything else that you'd like to discuss?
No, I think that's it for me. I think I've exhausted myself from what I can say.
So the website is Red Bull Rant, that's all one word, .wordpress.com. You can follow us there. We'll have the links to the feeds for the we have a feed burner feed, and once this episode gets posted, we'll be submitted to iTunes also. We'll also have stories on there by myself, Pat, and hopefully some other guest writers. We'll also have a Facebook group. It's called the Red Bull Rant. That's a public group, free to join. If you have anything you'd like to add to the show, you know, your rant for the week. we actually never set up that rant. Are we going to do best one, or do you want to do multiple rants each week?
I think we'll just do the best one, and if we can ever get a prize of some sort, we'll try and do that. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who just love to scream their brains out. And, it's got to be intelligible. I'm sorry. I should probably be, if we have no idea what you're saying, you won't get on. But, someday if we get a prize, we'd love to give it out. As for right now, we're both not making any money on this or have any sponsors. Give us your rant and, again, yeah, I think the best one. I think the best one will be, and if we ever have a tie, all right, then we'll put 2. But I think it's just going to be the best one, yeah.
Okay. And to start, we're going to do, it'll be an email submission. We're going to try, at least I'm going to try to set up a phone number to call in. So if you want to rant over the phone, we'll give you that channel to do it also. Although if we do get to that, make sure you know how to speak slowly on the phone. I've listened to way too many podcasts where people are playing voicemails and they talk either too fast or too low or something that you just can't understand what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. Again, that goes back to the intelligible thing. And while we're not going to be a censored show, I would say try to keep it a little censored, you know, like don't, you know, I don't think we'll air or something that's like, you know, FFFFF, you know?
Yeah, so. We didn't curse in this episode. We don't plan on cursing, but we won't be censoring ourselves for the most part. But if you start dropping F-bombs, we're just not going to put up there. It just takes away from the argument if you need to use expletives the whole time.
Yeah.
All right, so our email address is redbullrant@gmail.com. That's redbullrant, all one word. And we're also on Twitter at redbullrant. I know it's a lot of the same stuff, but it makes it easy to remember, so...
Yeah, I tweeted that out tonight, so hopefully we'll see if we have any followers after the show. It'd be fantastic if we do.
All right, so actually, if you want, you can also follow Patrick and myself on Twitter. My handle on Twitter is at, and this is going to be really weird, so I'm going to spell it out. It's Dr. Stooge, DocTaStooge. And Pat can be found at P... Mac, MacD82. I know I haven't been tweeting that much recently, and I generally don't, but every once in a while you may see a nugget from me up on there.
Yeah, it's, you know, for me it's been mostly New York Giants tweets, but now that the season's starting to pick up, I'll probably get back doing some writing, or the off-season, I should say, is picking up. I'll get some writing. I threw a few tweets out there today, so, you know, I should be coming alive again.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm a Jets fan, so most of my tweets would have been curses anyway. Which I guess makes me, which my Jets tortured soul makes me perfect fan for the Red Bulls, I guess.
Yeah, it works. They go hand in hand.
Yeah. All right, so for myself and Patrick McDonald, thanks for tuning in to the very first episode of the Red Bull Rant, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.